Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So Ronnie got stuck on Barkley there for a while and talked about in Phoenix him never having a true number two. That's true, Ronnie, and I was not quick enough to respond, but I was thinking about his Houston team in particular. He did play with Drexler and Olajuwon on those Houston teams that ended up losing to Utah in the Western Conference Finals. And while this would be unfair, remember, he started his career playing with Moses and Dr. J, made it to an Eastern Conference Finals, and did play in multiple playoff seasons with Dr. J, an older Dr. J, but still with Dr. J. But good call. All right. The question is, do you tie championships to your evaluation of a player's overall legacy, overall career ranking, you know, greatness level? LeBron James on a podcast with Steve Nash essentially started to downplay the importance of championships in the evaluation of players. You know, somebody called in and said, you know, LeBron's doing it because LeBron's never going to catch Mike, etc. LeBron does have four. And has been to 10. He's got pretty good championship pedigree when all is said and done. Let's go to our guy Brandon in Woodbridge. Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Brandon.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I was just thinking about the one caller called in and I think was kind of talking about, you know, back in the day versus now. And I think, like, now we are now seeing where the players are now, like, almost like GMs, where, like, hey, he's the superstar, yes, and he wants to have this guy go with him and this guy go with him and kind of build his own team. Where before, you know, the players that didn't have that luxury, so they were more so whatever the GM kind of puts together is how we're going to kind of try and face this particular season. And I think that has a lot to do with back in the day. You can say that, hey, the reason why they won this championship is because Jordan had Pippen, he had Kerr forcing three-point shooting, he had Dennis Rodman. That's a GM and a coach. That's like a all together, all of them came together and created that particular team.
Sure. Where now, of course, like, that plays into it. You know, the organization that you're with. I mean, the Garnett, Tim Duncan, you know, I forget who threw that out there. Like, if Garnett gets drafted by San Antonio instead of Duncan, does he end up with five titles? I think you could make the case that he would have. But he didn't get into that circumstance until he got to Boston from Minnesota. But go ahead. How would you answer the question? Do you tie rings to legacy?
Now, great players and legacy stands on its own merit. So when it comes down to that, if LeBron is obviously one of the best players that's played the game, that's his legacy. And that goes along with the championships that he won. But then I can't necessarily say somebody like he was saying, Charles Barkley or somebody, I'm trying to think of somebody else that didn't win. Maybe Drexler, maybe.
Well, Drexler did win. Drexler won with Hakeem.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yes, he did. Yeah. But I'm just saying, as far as like certain players, if they're that good of a player, then their game kind of stands for their legacy. Not
that's fine.
Championship.
I just, as a separator in basketball, I look at rings. In football, I don't. Thanks for the call, Brandon. Let's go to our guy, Aveen, in D.C. Aveen, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I largely agree with you. I think it's mainly a basketball thing. I think with baseball and hockey, no one player can control things as much. And in football, there's too many other components like coaching and roster construction. Although, you know, Brady and Mahomes, we've seen, you know, just will their teams to wins, like year in, year out, take their teams out of situations where it seems impossible. And we kind of saw that with Jaden Daniels last year. Like, we had a bad defense and he took us to the NFC Championship. So I think with really elite quarterbacks, there might be an exception, but they're kind of the outliers. But what the question I have for you is with basketball is I largely agree with you, but I also think there's an unprecedented level of talent and parity in the NBA. Like what's going on with player development and the level of athlete in the NBA is like I think there's more superstars in the league than there's been in past decades by a lot. And I think even the rotational players are just such high-level, multifaceted athletes. They can defend multiple positions. They all can run the floor. They all can space. They all can shoot from the perimeter. A lot of them are high-level rebounders. Are there just more good teams in the NBA than there has been in past decades?
In very recent years, yes. No doubt. We are about to see our seventh straight different champion. That never happened prior to 7 years ago. We had Golden State Cleveland 4 years in a row. You know, we had Golden State, you know, winning the last one when they beat Boston. That's been part of, you know, this run of a different champion every year. This year we had a matchup of two teams who haven't even been in the NBA Finals. Yeah, it's different now. And a lot of the restrictions and a lot of the rules related to salary cap, et cetera, have sort of dictated this. It's been engineered a bit by the league to create, you know, more parity when we didn't have it for a long period of time. Yes.
Right. So my question for you is, I think Jokic is a really good case study for this because Jokic is putting up like old time crazy numbers and all his advanced things. He's like one of the most best well-rounded players ever. And so if he only gets one finals title, like, do you view him differently? Is it the era he played in, or do you
I don't know. At least he got it. At least he got it. And you can say that he got it. And he, and by the way, he got it because of him, you know, more than anybody else. Whereas with others, you can't say that they even got there and got that ring. But yeah, one would be disappointing with a player like Jokic. But I think to your first point, and I think it's a really good one, and thanks for the call as always, Aveen, is we are in a different era now in the NBA. We have a lot more parity in the NBA than we've had in a long, long time. So it is getting harder to win a title because there's more depth and more parity. It's a fair point. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, how you doing, man? Hell
what's
to
up?
W. Hey, yeah, I'm loving this right here, man. So let me ask you this. Who is the greatest basketball player of all time?
Jordan's number one for me.
Jordan's number one. Okay, cool. So we're going to start here. So my whole thing is, for me, is the eye test. And I say this because I don't think you view championships on people's legacy unless we talk about the one of one, right? And to my mind, there's only two people that we should be talking about being one of one, and that's Jordan and that's Bill Russell. And you just said Jordan is your one of one, but Bill Russell has more championships than Jordan. So that kind of debunks your whole theory.
We're not comparing those with numbers of championships. The question is, do you separate among great players those who have won a championship versus those who have not?
I understand what your question is.
Yes.
I understand what your question is.
So what's your answer, and then continue?
Unless I go by the eye test. Unless it's one
okay.
of one. Unless we're talking about the one of one. And the reason why LeBron brings this up, because he's insecure of his own legacy. You know what I mean? For me, you got to go by the errors. You, like I said, you had the Chamberlain and era. Then you go from Bird to Magic era. Then you go from the Jordan Barkley era. You know what I mean? Now you can separate these guys by the era, who was the best one of those eras. But for me, it's the odds. You going to tell me Allen Iverson doesn't have a greater or bigger legacy than Kyrie Irving? You know what I mean? So for me, it's just the one is the eye test, unless we talk about one of one. And me, that conversation of one on one is only two people, Jordan and Russell.
Well, Magic's very close for me. Magic's very close for me. Magic, yeah. So I think there's a lot of. I think there the one of one list is more than one. That you asked me which one I would look to me. It's just again, it's like it's really simple. Like when you are talking about with friends. Who was the better player? Do rings matter? Yes or no? For me, they do in basketball. They don't in other sports. But in basketball, because of the impact one player has on an outcome, because of the way their postseason is determined based on best of sevens, I think that I can separate Michael Jordan from Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan from Patrick Ewing, Magic Johnson from Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing. That's what I would say to that. Tim Duncan
because of the championships.
Yes.
You don't separate Magic Johnson from Charles Barkley because of championships.
It is part of what separates. It's not the only thing, but it's part of it.
If Magic Johnson never won a championship, we still would be sitting here saying he was a better player than Charles Barkley, hands down.
Neither one of them would have titles, so it would be an interesting conversation. Right. But Magic's greatness is what led to titles. Magic's transformational, transcendent play, a 6'9 point guard, led the Lakers to five titles and nine opportunities.
And this goes back to what your guy Mark said, and Magic also played with Kareem, Worthy.
He did.
Great players, too.
Barkley played Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. Let's not forget about that. Houston.
Come on, old Drexler.
What do you mean?
Olajuwon, man.
They got beat by Stockton and Malone.
Old Drexler and an old Olajuwon. Come on, now. They all three of them were done. That was the all AARP team, man. Come on.
Kareem was awfully old.
For me,
Kareem was old.
It's the odds. Come on, man. You had Worthy, though.
Kareem, one of the titles, Kareem was 40 years old.
You had Worthy.
Yeah, I understand. He had Worthy, he had Coop, he had Byron Scott, he had Norm Nixon before that. Right. I get it.
Those players made him greater as a 6'9 point guard. It's the eye test, bro.
Look, the eye test for me on Magic Johnson is he's in the conversation with Jordan. Jordan would be ahead of Magic. Magic would be two in the non-center conversation. But if you told me that Magic's greatness didn't lead to a title, I'd feel differently about Magic. That's what I'm saying. That's where you and I disagree. I would end up feeling different about Magic Johnson, and I'd feel probably more the way. LeBron.
Don't count, bro.
Look, because they both have multiple titles. All right, it's been more than just one opportunity. They've been there lots of times, and they've won multiple. Now I just go by the eye test. Sorry, I love Steph, and I consider him to be the greatest ball handler shooter in one body I've ever watched. But LeBron's above him on my all-time great list. Not by a lot, but he's ahead of him.
It is awesome. But I'm going to say this. I'm going to end it with this. This all started because LeBron is insecure of his own legacy.
That's probably true.
That is, bro.
That's probably true. I got to roll.
It's okay to be number two, man.
Yeah.
It's okay to be number two. Head to the W.
All right. Let's go. Oh, AJ's back on. Let's finish up the conversation with AJ. AJ, thanks for calling back in. I kind of forget where we left off.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for putting you back on. I mean, the original was just the legacy with the big three and the Celtics and stuff. So thanks for hearing my point on that. Well, thanks for hearing my point on that. But as far as the legacy comparing championships to players, I think that like after you get to a certain thing, like you said, around three, when you're comparing the Jordans and the LeBrons, like, yeah, you need some rings. So whether it's, you know, and you probably need more than one too, but when there's only, you know, two or three people in that conversation of the greatest, I love Michael Jordan. I think he's more clutch than LeBron. I think he's more of a killer, right? But LeBron, he has like almost 60,000 points. When you talk about eye test, stop saying the eye test and then not look at numbers. I know we live in a world where someone has 50,000
points. Part of the eye test is what you said. LeBron and Kobe and Bird are killers. LeBron's never been that as a competitor.
Right. But he has as many assists as John Stockton.
Yeah, look, LeBron was the modern version of Magic Johnson, no doubt.
Right, he's in the top five of assists all time.
Yeah, I get it.
Steals.
I get it.
So the eye test is he's – with championships and the eye test since St. Vincent, St. Mary's, as you can clearly see, I'm a witness. He's up there. He's either one or two.
He is up there. But that's not what we're really talking about, because now we're talking about guys with multiples. We all agree those guys are great, and then we can have the conversation about ranking those at another time. The conversation is LeBron downplayed tying championships to legacy and to greatness. And so do you yourself believe that rings matter in the evaluation of somebody's all-time legacy? I do in basketball. I don't in football. It's interesting how the conversation's gone all basketball. But go ahead, answer the question, and then I got to move on.
No, I think all rings matter in all sports. You have to have a couple rings, you know, if you want to be considered. There are all-stars, there are superstars, but legacy, and I mean, all those great players, Allen Iverson, and they're amazing Hall of Fame players, but they're not that one or two as far as the legacy of being the best, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, championships matter.
In that sport, I agree with you. In football, I don't. Let me move on. Thanks, AJ, for calling back in. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, I absolutely evaluate championships in every sport except for baseball. I think baseball, the impact is minimal given the amount of touches you have. The reason I evaluate quarterbacks on rings is why we praise Mahomes and Brady. Sure, you can say there's defense and there's coaching and supporting cast, but they are the differentiators between those teams. We've seen Belichick without Brady, and we saw the results. We've seen the Patriots without Brady. We've seen Andy Reid without Mahomes. We understand the impact. In basketball, of course, they play both sides of the court. And I agree. I think there's so much revisionist history with Malone. Remember, he was on the Lakers at the end.
Yep.
And remember, then Charles Barkley, like you said, he played with Hall of Famers all throughout his career. This notion that he had nobody is just laughable. But just sticking to your overall argument, yes, I look at Aaron Rodgers differently than I look at Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Eli Manning or Ben Roethlisberger. I think playoff performance,
you can't compare Eli Manning to Aaron Rodgers. You can't do that. Sure. Aaron Rodgers is the much better player. He's an all-time great. Eli Manning's not an all-time great.
No debate.
But okay.
To me, the postseason championship performance is why Eli Manning will be a Hall of Famer eventually.
I agree. I do agree with that.
Why you and I disagree on Philip Rivers. I'm like, his lack of playoff performances is why he will not be a Hall of Famer.
He actually played well in the postseason. Ironically, Peyton Manning at times didn't. Lamar Jackson hasn't. Philip Rivers had some excellent postseason games.
Right. Lamar Jackson's a great example. They had the number one defense. They're at home. They have all the Pro Bowlers and all pro players. And his play is the reason they didn't win. And so to me,
against the Chiefs 2 years ago, not against Buffalo in this most recent exit.
Sure. But overall, there's a large body of work. And so to answer the direct question and not compare NBA legacies, et cetera, yes, I evaluate championships as a major, major part of it. Given the devaluing of the regular season in all sports.
There's no devaluing of the regular season in the NFL.
Sure. Fine. Let's say that. But you would even agree the emphasis of playoff performance is a next level. And so for me,
I just know what I watched Dan Marino. And there's no way, there's no chance Bart Starr or even a guy like Troy Aikman I could ever put in front of Dan Marino. Ever.
See, I don't know if I fully agree, forget Bart Starr, but like Troy Aikman v. Dan Marino. But I'll give you this. In the same era, same time, we look at John Elway completely different than we look at Dan Marino because of those two Super Bowls at the end.
The eye test was the same on both of them. They were spectacular. They were all-time greats.
Right. But the differentiator is the two championships at the end.
I know. I'm saying that I wouldn't use that as a differentiator. But you know what's interesting about that specific example is Elway got to three with very average supporting casts, and Marino only got to one with an average supporting cast. So there is that. And by the way, you could argue the greatest coach that ever lived coaching him in Don Shula. But Marino's a tough one for a lot of people because, you know, like you, I'm old enough to have seen him play, and I don't think anybody's ever thrown the ball better, and I just think he is in the conversation of the four or five greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he only went to one Super Bowl, and he didn't win it. Thanks, Ian. Let me finish up with Bill, who's been on hold for a while. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Somebody stole
good,
my
Bill.
Thunder a little bit on the Robert Horry point. You know, I think if you're going to, if you're constructive to take that extreme example on the other end, where a guy who's won seven rings with three different teams, who's not even in the NBA Hall of Fame.
I know, but the reason Ori and I set the ground rules for the conversation by saying we're talking about you got to clear the hurdle of an all-time great. Robert Horry is an all-time postseason clutch spot-up three-point shooter, but he's not an all-time great player, and that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame despite seven rings.
I mean, I think he is the most underrated.
Okay.
Even it wasn't like he was just a barely a role player there. I mean, he was instrumental in winning.
He averaged double figures three times in his 16-year career.
Yeah, and he also created the stretch three position that didn't.
Yes, he did. In many ways, he did.
And you know, he still holds the record for most threes made without a miss in the playoffs. So
I didn't know that one.
Anyway,
he was clutch.
But he was clutch.
All right, Bill. Anything else? I got to roll.
Factor. Yeah, it's a factor, but not the end-all, be-all is kind of my point.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of you, those that I missed. We'll have another day at some point. We'll come back to this. Grant Paulson will jump on. We'll get his thoughts on the Dave Martinez situation. Mike Rizzo did speak this morning on this station with the Junkies and pretty much led everybody to believe they're not going to do much about Dave Martinez right now. Kevin Sheehan, show the Team 980.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, everything we do here is a team. I'm responsible for everything that goes on in baseball, the good and the bad and the 10-day losing streak. That's my team that I put out there. I take responsibility for the successes and the failures of this franchise. And I think that that's what leaders do. And I will continue to do that. And we'll continue to strive for to put the best product on the field that the D.C. people could be proud of.
Mike Rizzo, earlier this morning with the Junkies in his weekly appearance, it did not seem, listening to him, that any change at the manager position is coming soon, despite 10 straight losses, the last five to the Marlins and lowly Rockies, and coming off what Dave Martinez said Saturday about it's never the coach's fault. Joining me right now from 106.7 The Fan, our sister station, and the Grant and Danny Show is Grant Paulson at Grant Paulson on X on Twitter. Before we get into what you think you heard this morning and what you think should be done, how good of a manager is Dave Martinez?
Kevin, I think in game, he's probably average. I've never thought he was one of the better managers in baseball, save for, oddly enough, and maybe you could call me a simpleton. You know, the 19 postseason, I thought he was masterful when he really had to go max effort and shorten his pitching staff. You know, he touched all the right buttons. He used starters out of the bullpen. People forget, but Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and routinely Patrick Corbin all pitched in relief. And they really went pushing the chips all in with their best arms, which I think is how you got to manage in October. You can't do that in the regular season, obviously, and I thought he was really, really good. Where he's excellent, though, and where I've always given him credit, and I think there's actually similarities, it's almost like the Nats have a type, to Dusty Baker is, I didn't think Dusty Baker, who's one of the most accomplished managers of all time in game, was all that great of a manager necessarily either, but he was unbelievable for 21 hours a day, is always what I said about Dusty. Like, there's no one in the history of the sport better, maybe, with players and in the clubhouse and with relationships. And they don't call it a coach for a reason. You're managing people over 162, the ups, the downs, the ebbs, the flows. Davey is brilliant at that as well. He is very positive. He is very optimistic. The stuff that he says that's kind of eye-rolling if you're just a grown adult in a cynical world is real to him. You know, the winning 1-0 every day and all that stuff. And players actually in sports, you know this with football coaches, right? They rally behind that. They like when Joe Maddon brings in the snake around someone's neck in the clubhouse during a losing streak, or they put a poster up on the wall of someone who said something bad and slap it when they walk outside. So I think Davey's really, really good, like an 8 or 9 out of 10 at the managing people part of it generally. I think he's pretty average as a in-game manager and has been throughout his entire time here.
In most cities, would he still be the manager in better and more passionate baseball cities?
I don't think so. No, just because as you've seen this year with three firings, and it's not like those were in, you know, baseball hotbed cities or anything, but it's been a long time. I mean, this is, I believe, season 8 for him in D.C. They've been sub 500 for 5 years. Now, I will say, to Davey's defense, I guess, they weren't supposed to be over 500 at any point really dating back to 2022 when they sold off Juan Soto and really bottomed out from a big league talent standpoint. So certainly the last 3 years, the 23, 24, and now 25 seasons, this is a 75-win team maybe that they handed him to go manage. And before this losing streak, they were on pace for more wins than that. And now they're on pace for a few less wins than that. But you know, you can't give me the ingredients to make you a $14 lunch and be upset that it tastes like a $14 lunch. So I haven't had a huge issue necessarily with the results over the last couple of years. But I think the maddening element for Nats fans, the frustration, Kevin, is they said, and I think this was a self-inflicted wound to some extent. Nobody told them to say this. And this was very obvious in spring training when I went down there this year. This was from the front office to the managerial staff with Davey and coaches to the players. Like, they felt like it was time to win. It's time to turn the corner. We're ready to go compete. And we've talked about this from a football standpoint, you and I, in the past. I believe in actions, not words, right? So when a coach comes up and tells you, Mike Shanahan, I'm staking my reputation on Grossman and Beck, and I was on the beat at that time, and right after the press conference, he's telling me, these guys aren't good enough, we're going to lose. Like, they're going to say what they need to say at the podium, and the actions tell you something very, very different. And the actions this offseason were not the actions of a team that was ready to win or that should have won. The roster wasn't good enough. So that's their own fault, though. I mean, fans hear that, and they go, oh, they're going to go over 500. They think they can be a wild card team. They're all telling me they can win. And I don't think you can get upset now when people are going, well, wait a second. You told us this was the year you were going to start turning the corner. And not only have you not done that, but at this moment, this snapshot today, it feels further away than it has at any point in the last 5 years.
Before we get to what Rizzo said this morning and what you think could or might not happen in the coming days or the coming weeks, what did you expect heading into this season? What was realistic? Forget what they said. Forget even what, you know, the over-under number was. What did you think they were capable of with, you know, a young James Wood and a Dylan Cruz and some of the young talent and a Mackenzie Gore who's having a phenomenal season? What were you expecting?
I thought that the ceiling for this team was probably somewhere between like 80 and 82 wins. And being in the wild card conversation at some point in September, playing important August baseball, being in the mix, because with the third wild card now, if you're a 500-ish team, you're generally going to finish at year's end around five or so games off the pace. I thought that was, if a lot of things went well, and by the way, many of those have. You just mentioned Gore leading the major leagues in strikeouts. James Wood should unequivocally be an all-star. C.J. Abrams is playing, despite a bad rut for three or so weeks recently, at an all-star level, statistically one of the better offensive shortstops in the league. Like, a lot of the things that they were really banking on, hoping on, needed to happen, have happened. Not all of them. Cruz didn't get off to the start before the injury they wanted. K-Bert Ruiz in a linchpin, you know, pendulum-swinging season has actually gotten worse, not better. And so, you know, they didn't bat 1,000 on those things, but some of the most important things have gone very well. Realistically, though, Kev, to answer your question, I thought the window was kind of like a floor. A lot of things go terribly, maybe 70 wins. They won 71 the last 2 years. I actually thought they were better than that last year. Remember, that's with selling a bunch of guys at the deadline, and that means in the second half you probably could have done better and won more games if you prioritized it. So I thought probably like 70 to 78 was a realistic window, and I think I had them around 77 wins, something like that.
All right, let's talk about the moment right now. Mike Rizzo this morning on the Junkies. What did you hear from him?
First, I heard he's not making a managerial change. I don't know if you disagree with that, but he sounded like a guy.
I totally agree with that.
I thought that, you know, he was not going to fire the manager on the air, but there was multiple ways he could have gone, one of which is at the end of the conversation, you could have felt like Davey's on a red-hot seat, and if they don't get a win against the Rockies in the next couple of days, there could be a change. And I did not leave the conversation thinking that at all. I fully anticipate not only will Martinez survive whatever happens the rest of this homestand, but that he's probably going to be the manager foreseeably into the future, barring something crazy happening. But what else I heard was a couple of takeaways. One, I thought he made a fascinating comment at one point at the very end of an answer where he said the word hopefully. He said, hopefully when we're ready to win, we can spend money and bring in players, is basically what he said. I think he said we can add players to the young guys. Well, two-parter there. Number one, again, this offseason they said they were ready to win.
Right.
And not coincidentally, this offseason is when they should have started spending money. I had no problem with the learners punching out in free agency, closing the checkbook, putting it away in a safe for a few off seasons, because there's really no reason to spend on free agents when you're rebuilding. You win more games, you pick lower, and also those guys get closer to the end of their deals. If you're signing someone to a four-year deal with 2 years left in the rebuild, now I got really 2 years on the back end of a competitive window with that player. But this offseason was different. You know, Brady House got to the big leagues this week, Kevin.
Yep.
It's like, that's the wave. It has now crashed, right? James Wood, who's awesome. And you look at their prospects that they've been calling up, like Dylan Cruz, who's going to be back from injury soon, hopefully. Brady House. There's other good players in the system we could go into if you wanted. But their best bat in the system right now is at single-A Fredericksburg. So it's not like at double-A or triple-A, there's another caliber of hitter, like the kids that they've called up over the last calendar year, that's coming. And so my point is, with Mackenzie Gore having only 2 years of control left after this season, with C.J. Abrams having only 3 years of control left after this season, the time to add and supplement talent and bring in help was this offseason. So that answer from Rizzo is like, when we're ready to win. Well, we already know that they thought that was now, which means they didn't get the money they wanted this offseason. But also the word hopefully.
Yeah.
He sounds like me saying, well, hopefully the learners will spend. He's the team president, and he's just hoping. He has more confidence, it sounds like, than I do, that he's actually ever going to be able to spend on real players again.
Well, part of that, couldn't it be that he's unsure of ownership situation? Who will own the team? If they end up owning the team and understanding that they are now committed to owning the team for several years, maybe they'll start to spend, or it ends up being Ted or somebody else that owns the team and he hopes that they spend.
I guess that's true, yes. But I also think the most likely possibility, and my assumption is that, and he knows this better than I do, is that there is no sale, and there is no new owner, and that the learners just continue to own the team. And if that is the case, currently the team's not quote-unquote for sale. I had Ted Leonsis on the air not long ago. I know you did a really good interview with him as well. And when Ted was on, I asked him about trying to buy the Nats, and he said he is forever interested, that he is absolutely still curious and wants to buy the team. But what he told me was that the Nationals are not for sale at the moment because the learners in season never really wanted to discuss it. The last time they had talked, the team was kind of off the market, in air quotes. So that's the last we've heard. That's going on a year since like a Washington Post report, something to that effect. So I don't think it's like some imminent sale. I mean, if anything, it's like the house is not listed on Redfin right now. It's gone. There is no Zillow listing for the Nationals. There's no for sale sign in the yard at this point. That doesn't mean that they're not ever going to sell. But right now, I don't like people that are just hoping that's the antidote is that sometime this offseason they sell to Leonsis and he spends some money and dumps money into the product. I don't think that's realistic right now. So it's really a matter of them reengaging financially and just whether or not you trust that they're going to.
All right. So, you know, your thoughts after listening to Rizzo, and I felt the same way, is there's nothing imminent. They're not making a change, and maybe not for a while. Do you think he should be considering a change? And then what would lead to him changing his opinion this year?
I think if you keep losing, so it doesn't have to mean that this streak continues, although that would obviously be damaging, but they're about to go out west.
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually talked to Davey for a minute after his press conference last night. And I jokingly said to him as he was walking out of the room, and probably wasn't a great time for a joke, but he said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "Davey." And he looks and I said, "Well, at least you get to play the Dodgers and the Padres when you leave here."
Yeah.
I mean, what a disaster that could potentially be. Now,
yeah.
He is the eternal optimist. And he said, "You know, we've played really well out there." And it would be very baseball and very national. They go out there and they take 4 out of 6 from those two teams. But, I mean, if you were to, let's say, split the next two or, God forbid, lose the next two, and then you go out west and have a really rough road trip. They also play the Angels at the end of that road trip. I mean, it just, at some point, your hands are tied. Like, it doesn't really matter if you want to make a change or not. It's essentially just like pulling a goalie in hockey. After the third goal, might not be the goalie's fault. The defense is asleep in front of them. Fourth goal, guy turned the puck over in the neutral zone. You just kind of do it to do it because you've got to do something and you can't bench everybody else. My bigger question, I guess, in the short term is, would they make some kind of sacrificial lamb change on the staff and just kind of give people their pound of flesh and act like that's good enough, whether that's a hitting coach or a base coach or something like that. I that's probably just changing the tires on a car that's not running correctly, but I guess that's possible in the shorter term. But my opinion this morning changed, honestly. I thought last night there was a chance that we were going to see something imminently. And after hearing Rizzo, he seemed to me like a guy that has no plans on firing Davey Martinez this season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a sense that there are, you know, people at the gates, you know, pounding the table for a pound of flesh right now. And, you know, if this thing got out of hand, and let's just say they lost two more to Colorado and it reached 12, and then they got swept by the Dodgers and it reached 15, in most cases, even though, you know, ownership doesn't want to, you know, answer to fans, or you'd be sitting with them eventually, as general managers and coaches say, optically, it would be the thing that 9 out of 10 baseball cities would do. So I do think that it's potentially going to change if we get into 16 out of 17 or 18 out of 20. And the schedule certainly sets up, you know, obviously it's baseball, anybody can win on any given night. But if it got that bad, I wonder if it would change. It wouldn't surprise me if it did. Would it surprise you?
So do I. No, I don't think it would be stunning if it changed. I just don't, at some point, I don't think you really have a choice. And what Davey has said night after night has been basically that they're going to turn it around tomorrow, right? What Rizzo said today is we're going to win a couple of these games, and when we start to turn the corner and play a little better, basically the valve gets released. And that's fine. That's true. But what if it doesn't happen? Just because that has been the norm this season when things were bad that you started to win again, or you flipped the switch and you went on a stretch, doesn't necessarily mean it happens this time. And in a hypothetical where you're asking, what if you keep losing? I definitely think things change. You know, 5 days ago when the homestand started against the Marlins and the Rockies,
right,
people were saying that they wanted a change made, and I laughed at it. I thought, that they're not doing that. It's silly. And last night, as they were down 10-1 and gave up a record number of homers to the worst team in baseball this deep into a season since 1899, I was sitting in the press box ready to go home, and I said, you know what? I texted my wife. I said, I got to go downstairs. I got to make sure that Davey walks into that room after the game. I mean, I really didn't know. Now they scratched and clawed and had a good ninth inning, and they were able to, you know, preach the battle that the team has and all that. But, I mean, that was as bad as it gets against that team for a second straight loss, for a 10th in a row now. Be down by that number of runs. But the only thing I'll say lastly, you know, on kind of your bigger picture point on, like, you know, the change that could be looming, I guess, is I do think Rizzo and Davey have a very good relationship. And I think that the things that are legitimate in their defense in terms of the quality of the roster, the money that they're allocated, the limitations maybe even on things we don't understand behind the scenes, and, you know, the draft and development and downsizing their staff. I do think there's probably empathy from Rizzo for the guy who helped win him a World Series when it comes to, you know, he knows what his limitations are. I'm sure he feels the same for Davey. Fans don't necessarily care about that. And I'll push back a little bit on the Twitter's not real, but there are absolutely wolves at the doors here. I mean, they announced 11,000 two games ago. I was
there. I saw that. I 17,000 last night.
Right. Last night there might have been 10-ish. I think the night before, I eat my phone if there was more than 7,500 people at the game. Like, that in and of itself is a tell. And then also just the animus is the loudest that I have heard it from the really passionate, vocal following of the team online. You can't make changes because of that. I'm not suggesting that. But if you get to a point where there's, you know, 7,500 people coming to your home games during the week, I mean, that's a really big problem.
Yeah. All right, look, I want to ask you one more, and then I'll let you run. Grant, of course, on with Danny every weekday, 2 to 6:30 on 106.7 The Fan. Is James Wood capable of being what Harper and Soto were before him?
Definitely. Yeah, I think he...
Like a legitimate MVP candidate.
Oh, totally. Yeah, this kid's special, man. He does things as a hitter that there's maybe five guys on the planet who can do them. You know, and it's Judge, and it was Giancarlo Stanton in his prime, or Shohei Ohtani. I mean, this is unequivocally a bona fide. This is what an MVP perennial top slugger in baseball looks like when they're 22. I mean, he's going to hit on pace right now for 40 home runs this year in a bad lineup with little protection as the alpha, the guy at 22. You know, Soto's numbers and Wood's numbers, when you compare them at this age, are actually really, really similar. Soto got brought up and dropped in to a lineup with Rendon and Zimmerman and Harper in his first year, you know, in this excellent lineup with great players. And he was just a guy that got to get in where he fit in, and you weren't really keying on him. James Wood's the guy every single night that the opponent's saying can't beat us. Last night, the Rockies walked him in consecutive at-bats, didn't give him anything to see. And yet and still, he's on pace for 40 home runs, which only Harper and Alfonso Soriano way back at RFK Stadium have ever done in this organization. But it's not just the power, which I think is the crazy selling point and attribute. It's the discipline, the pitches that he takes, the walk rate, the fact that he normally doesn't get himself out. He is fast. He can steal bases. I don't want him to steal a ton of bases because I need to keep him healthy. But he's coming around in the outfield. He looks a lot better in left field as well. He's going to be a long-term, very solid average defender in left probably with his size. But, yeah, this is going to be a perennial 35-home-run bat. Now, you got to play on a good team to get that recognition, as we're seeing with him. Ninth right now in NL outfield all-star balloting. But, Kevin, he's already been top five in the league in OPS in this month. I mean, he's number one among NL outfielders, not only in that category, but most slug categories. So it's happening already, and it's – I mean, this is on a terrible team. What would happen if you dropped him into – I'm just making this up, but, like, with the Dodgers lineup around him, like, what is this guy capable of? I mean, he's – this is really unique. And at this age, this is what it looks like. He's going to be a superstar.
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Good chatting.
Grant Paulson, everybody. When we come back, some news on Tyrese Halliburton and Game 6 tomorrow night in the NBA Finals. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980.
All right, last night the Panthers won the Stanley Cup Final. The Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup Final. They closed out in a dominant performance, winning the game 5-1. They had the lead 5-0, but gave up one to the Edmonton Oilers late. Sam Bennett wins the Conn Smythe, leading the league with 15 postseason goals. Again, the most in the Stanley Cup this year. The Indiana Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton has undergone an MRI for a right calf strain to determine the severity of his injury. The Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle says that they are prepared to play with or without him. The Nats, they drop 10 in a row. They get blown out by the Rockies by a score of 10-6. They gave up 7 home runs last night, 4 of which come in the 7th inning. They'll re-rack against the Rockies tonight. First pitch at 6:45, Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Greg Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Thunder can clinch the NBA title with a win. And Tyrese Haliburton, who was not healthy for Game 5, suffered, according to reports, a strained right calf and will undergo an MRI. Now, that was apparently scheduled for today. The results, I guess, later today or early tomorrow. There's a chance, despite it being Game 6, and despite, you know, what everybody would say, which is you got to play, you got to suck it up and play. This is one of those injuries that they will be very careful with. Calf strains can turn into calf torn calves or partially torn calves, and now you're talking about months, and many times a calf strain is a precursor to an Achilles injury, you know, even a ruptured Achilles. They're going to be very careful with him. I really believe that. Plus, they have an option in TJ McConnell to come in off the bench. But it'll be interesting to see if that MRI reveals, you know, a strained calf. That's one thing, you know, depending on the severity. If it reveals like a partially torn or a severely strained calf, it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't play. You know, this is not an ankle roll. This is not, you know, an elbow injury. This is not, you know, something where, you know, you can go out and play and not have significant risk of a serious injury. A calf strain can be a precursor to something very serious. All right. Thanks to Chris Russell, who joined us on the show today. Thanks to Grant Paulson. Thanks to all of you who called. Max did a great job. We're done for the day. Speaking of Chris, he's up next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.